Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
My Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
Word of God.
God's Word.
God's Word.
Is devil destruction power.
Devil destruction power.
With my Bible.
My Bible.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every single day.
Every single day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
Word of God.
And God's Word.
God's Word.
Is the revelation.
Is the revelation.
Of His will for my life.
Whatever says I am.
That's what I am. Whatever says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it
in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and preach your word. Father, help us to be doers of this word in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Praise God. Now, I know I took up a lot of time explaining some things, so I'm going to count that towards my preaching time, okay?
Amen.
Oh, no? Okay. Don't encourage me. Oh, when my daughter said amen, she was affirming that I should count it towards my... if this was a democratic process, I might let y'all take a vote, but no, I'm going to try to keep this short because I do have to go somewhere else myself. So y'all should consider yourselves blessed in that regard, but you need the Word of God, amen?
Amen?
That's what you come here for. And I'm trying to give you, teach you the Word of God in ways that I'm hoping helps you to remember the main point. And sometimes that's why we might teach using acronyms, or we might teach using alphabet. It's not me trying to find a clever way to bring forth the message. Is simply me trying to think of how do I get across to you the truth that I have learned all my life, or the majority of my Christian walk with Christ. How do I make it easier to put that into you? Praise God. Because sometimes I might teach you something, and you're getting excited, and you walk out the door, and the Bible says that Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in your heart.
Yep.
So in order to keep this work, the devil from being able to steal the word, I'm trying to find creative ways in which to present the word to you. And so that's why we've been talking about A's for active aggression against the devil and demons. So on that note, does anybody remember what the first A was? Nobody remembers what the first A was. All right, I'm going to do it for you again. What's the first A?
Affliction.
All right. We know that affliction and adversity are the same thing. And we know that it does not come from God. We learn from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that Satan is the one who brings affliction. Praise God.
Amen.
That's important to know, because so many people go around talking about, God did this to me. God brought this upon me for a reason. God is in control. I do believe that God is in control when you allow him to have control in your life. Praise God.
Amen.
But yet you have a free will, and some things you bring on yourself, and God did not, quote unquote, control that happening to you. Amen. And some things is just due to the fact that you are in a warfare. And Satan is the one who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now thank you, Father, for the fact that you do put limitations on the devil. Thank the Father that he give us his word, and he's given us his victory so that we can overcome the devil. But do you realize that a lot is left up to you to deal with? He's given you every resource possible, but you must learn to do it. Praise God.
Amen.
There was a time when my children were young and I would help them clean their room. But there was a time when they got old enough to where I expect them to clean their own room. Amen.
Amen.
I gave them all the resources they needed. A broom, a mop, dustpan, dust rag. I didn't say, clean your own room, find your own resources. I gave them to them. They didn't clean their own rooms. I had another resource. It was called the bell. Moving right along. What is the next A? What is the next A?
Adversity.
Adversary, adversity. We recognize that Satan, once again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 tells us that Satan is the adversary, and adversity or affliction comes from an adversary. Praise God. The third A, what is that? Advantage. We are the ones who give Satan an advantage. Again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 tells us that Satan must seek someone to devour. Hallelujah. That means that he can't just devour anybody. That's why he has to go about seeking. In other words, he has to find to see if he can get an advantage over you. What gives him an advantage? Your sins, your lack of holiness, your unforgiveness. All these things give Satan an advantage in your life. Your lack of knowledge of God's word, because there's some good Christians who do live holy, who do try to forgive everybody that hurts them, but because they don't understand that they have power over the devil, they allow Satan to beat them up. And then they say, well, God allowed that on me for a reason. Because they lack knowledge of God's word. So Satan is able to get an advantage on good Christians and wicked people because we don't, either our lack of knowledge or our lack of holiness. Praise God. Amen. All right, fourth A, what was that?
Ascension.
Because Jesus, last week we had our resurrection service. Y'all know I do not like the word Easter because Easter is a pagan holiday. Praise God. Mm-hmm. We don't celebrate pagan holidays in Christ's church. We celebrate Jesus' days. We celebrate things that are centered around Jesus. That's why you will not have me bring an Easter bunny in here. And on Christmas, I don't have, and churches do this, I don't have some fat, out of shape, bald guy coming in here with his suit on, ain't shaved, and coming in here handing out dangerous toys to y'all. See, let me tell you, let me just get on that one for a minute. I know I'm just getting in y'all business today. But let me tell you something. If you lie to your children about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, how much do you think they're gonna believe later on when they find out that Easter Bunny and Santa Claus ain't real, and then they find out maybe you lied about Jesus too? Mm-hmm. Hello? Mm-hmm. I never once. Now, in my household, we had Christmas. We had a Christmas tree. We still have a Christmas tree. I make them put it up now. I don't put it up no more. I'm done with that. We had presents under the Christmas tree. Praise God. They got they would make out their list. I'd get them the toys that they wanted. But they knew where it came from. Mm. It came from my hard work at behind. Not from some guy at the North Pole with some toy shop. It came from me. Praise God. Now, I will, of course, acknowledge God's blessings, his health, and all those things that allowed me to bless them. Me and my wife as well. My wife, too. I got to acknowledge her because she was working her hard. She was working hard as well. We were a two-income family. But the thing is that they got their blessings on Christmas, but they also knew that where it came from, so that later on they know who to appreciate. They're not going to sit up there and appreciate Santa Claus for my hard work. If they're going to appreciate anybody other than me, they appreciate Jesus, who gave me the job and gave me the blessings and gave me the ability to provide for them. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, on that note, what was the fourth one? Oh, I'm sorry. What's the fifth one? Annihilated. Say annihilated.
Annihilated.
That means Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has defeated Satan. So last week, we celebrated Resurrection Day, but I want to have an Ascension Day. Because Jesus he not only resurrected, but he ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and all principalities and powers are under his feet, glory to God. And then he said that we are the body of Christ. So if the body, if we are the body of Christ, guess where the principalities and powers are at? Under our feet. So Jesus gave a legal crushing defeat to Satan. And he ascended on high, not so he can sit back and relax and say, okay, I did my part, guys, it's on you now. No, his ascension on high was to show and demonstrate his rulership and his authority over the demon powers in the world. Praise God.
Amen.
Now he left us here, and he's getting, but he's still with us through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is here giving, providing miraculous power in order to bring defeat to all the demon spirits that are around us. So Jesus ascended and he annihilated Satan. That doesn't mean he blew him out of existence. It simply means he defeated him. All glory to God. I'm telling you, if you really caught that truth, then you would really begin to walk with your head high. Not prideful, but with your head high, knowing that you are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, we discussed one other one a couple of weeks ago. Did anybody remember what that one was? This is the sixth one. Anybody remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago?
Authority.
Authority. Thank you, Toman. You get an A. We talked about authority. Praise God.
Amen.
So you have, see, because of the ascension of Christ, and because he annihilated Satan, you can now walk in the authority that Christ has given you over Satan and demon powers. And that means that even includes sickness, disease, sin, anything that comes from the enemy, you have authority over it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, I'm so glad that I learned this truth. Now, this truth did not make me trouble-free. On the contrary, when I began to learn these truths, I seemed like I got more attacks. Glory to God.
Yeah, that's so true.
But I'm going to tell you right now, I was able to overcome every single one of them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But I would rather have had those attacks than to be sitting there and letting Satan be in my, beat me up as a punching bag. Glory to God.
Amen.
When I began to walk in the authority that Christ Jesus had, my ministry got a little bit more effective towards people. Not only that, could I just go down and talk to them and say, hey, do you know that Jesus loves you? I can demonstrate that Jesus loved them. I can pray for them, expect them to be healed. Just like my daughter was saying earlier, how she, her friend was sick. Her friend's not a Christian. Y'all, some of y'all met her. She brought her friend to church a couple of times when her friend came to visit here. But you know her. But she prayed for a friend, and her friend got healed immediately. Now her friend may not seem to connect the two together, because sometimes people just think, well, it's just a coincidence. But later on down the road, she's going to look at this and say, wait a minute, every single time I got sick and I told Terry, Terry prayed, and for some reason I got better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sooner or later, she's going to connect two and two together. So don't worry about it if they don't catch it the first time.
Amen.
Don't worry about it if they don't catch it the second time or even the third time. You keep doing it. I mean, George Mueller, a great man of God in the 1800s, he prayed, he had two friends he prayed for 50 years for. 50 years, he would not quit praying for them. One of them died. One of them gave their life to Christ just before he died, and then the other one gave his life to Christ at his funeral. Do you know that God answers your prayers even after you're dead? Glory to God. Actually, he answers your prayer the very first day. But when you're talking about praying for somebody else, now he's got to deal with free will,
yeah.
With people, some of y'all, we praying for y'all, and y'all keep resisting the Holy Spirit, and you know, like one woman, she was saying how she was praying for her husband, and the dude just got worse. He was a drunkard. I mean, the more she prayed, the worse he got. And then a couple of years later, he finally got saved. And so she decided to ask him. She said, honey, she said, I prayed for you, and yet you just seemed like you just started acting crazy. She said, what was going on? He said, oh, he said, when you were praying for me, he said, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me, and I was trying to, and I just got drunker to try to drown out his voice. Praise God. The more you pray, the louder the Holy Spirit will you. He will keep turning this megaphone up and up and up because he loves you. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Don't quit praying for your children. Don't quit. You know, I'm not giving up on my boy. Praise God. Amen. I'm not giving up on any of my children. I'm not even giving up on your children. Amen. I'm praying for many of your children. We're praying for them on Thursdays. I pray for them in my personal prayer time. We want to see these kids saved, or these young men and women saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, so seriously, now we're going to get through all the A's today, since I promised y'all I wouldn't stay keep you too long. The next A is attack. James chapter 4, verse 7 tells us, submit yourself to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. That means Satan is going to attack, right? See, if you got to resist somebody, that means they're attacking you. But the Bible tells you that you must resist the attack. And you already saw that you have authority, but you must exercise your authority by resisting the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
However, you don't resist the devil until you first submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Remember, some of y'all might remember the man that came to Jesus. His servant was sick. And Jesus said, I will come with you and pray for it. The centurion, the soldier. And Jesus said, I will come with you and pray for him. And the man said, he said, oh, no. He said, I'm a sinful man. He said, please don't come under my house. He said, all you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. But listen to what he said. He said, I am a man of authority. I tell this one to go, and he does it. I tell that one to do this, and he does it. He said, but I'm also a man under authority. And so basically what he's saying is that because I am under authority, I can exercise authority. Glory to God.
Amen.
You see, the basic principle is this. His authority was backed up by Rome. If any of his soldiers got out of line, all he had to do was call headquarters and say, I got a soldier that's getting out of line. And headquarters would deal with them. And they knew that, and so therefore, they had to obey their leader. It's the same thing with you. Satan and demons have to obey you, because if they don't, then they got to deal with headquarters. And they do not want to deal with headquarters because they've already got a taste of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after Jesus waxed them once, they say, a lady, woman of God, a prophetess, one time she said she had a dream. And Satan came to her and tried to, and said he was going to do something to her, kill her, something like that. And she said, well, I plead the blood of Jesus against you. I plead the blood against you. And the devil said, well, I'm not afraid of the blood of bulls and goats. And she said, I'm not pleading the blood of bulls and goats. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus. He said, oh, I'm afraid of the blood of Jesus.
Oh.
And he got away. See, you have authority over the devil because he don't want to mess with Jesus. He knows that you say, hey, you don't do what I tell you, my daddy's coming to get you. They run away. Praise God.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I had a lot of people scared of my father. I'll never forget one time when me and my brother was playing in this garage, and he used to have these two big greyhound dogs. I mean, them things was horses. And you know, I think I was only 11 years old, my brother was 10, and them things was like up to here with me. And you know, for the most part, they were friendly dogs. And my father was working on his truck because he's a truck driver. And so me and my brother, we playing with each other, and I'm chasing my brother. And he ran past one of the dogs, and the dog got up, looked at me, and started growling. And I mean, I froze in where I was standing because I was scared to death. My father calmly got off his truck, walked between me and the dog, and said, shut up and sit down! And the dog,
yeah.
So, I remember one time there was a guy that, you know, grown man that used to try to mess with us sometimes, and I told my father about it. My father came to the house, and the guy just was dumb enough to happen to be around that time when it happened, when my father came. My father said, "Hey, Reggie, come here." Reggie took off. You see, my father, he's a big, strong truck driver. He wasn't, you know, he didn't play around, and he was crazy, too. But the thing is that whenever my father was around, there was nothing I was afraid of, praise God. Amen. And see, I now can apply that to my Heavenly Father. As long as I submit to Him, as long as I keep the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit in my life, the devil may attack. But I can resist him because I'm submitted to a higher power. Amen. And his name is Jesus. Glory to God. The people in Alcoholics Anonymous, they tell you, you must submit to a higher power, but they don't even know who that higher power is. Mm-hmm. Well, the higher power can be anybody. It can be Buddha. It can be Muhammad. No, I know who my higher power is. His name is Jesus. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Buddha ain't never did nothing for anybody. Jesus has done it all.
Amen.
All right. So the fact that you must resist Satan means that you will get attacked. Now, the next one is alert. Say alert.
Alert.
Glory to God. That word alert, as you can see, the definition is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. I like the way the Message reads it. It says, keep a cool head. I like that. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. Woo, thank God it doesn't last forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word? Yes, he does. Oh, I like that translation or that paraphrase. That is pretty good. So stay alert. See, Satan wants nothing better than to catch you asleep. That's what be sober, be vigilant is. It means when you, what's the opposite of sober?
Drunk.
Drunk. Exactly. How many of y'all has either been drunk and unalert, or have you seen somebody drunk and unalert? Some of y'all can say, I've seen both. I'm in both. So, you know, a person, somebody is drunk and unalert, they don't know where they're going, they don't know what they're doing, they don't even know what they're talking about, but they sure can talk, can't they?
I remember when I was in Iraq in 1945. He ain't what even born then.
I tell you, some drunk people can be funny as I don't know what though. But the thing is that you as a Christian, and we're talking from a spiritual aspect, you already know from a physical aspect you're not supposed to be getting drunk as a Christian. But from a spiritual aspect, you should not be getting drunk in a devilish way either, praise God. You should not be allowing yourself to be unalert by living in sin, watching wrong things on television, reading the wrong things that destroy your faith. You need to be alert at all times. That means you need to stay in His book. That means you need to stay in prayer, praise God.
Amen.
That means you need to have constant fellowship with your Father and get to know this book. You need to be at church services when the doors open, praise God.
Amen.
Because you need to be around saints. You need to be around good teaching and preaching. You need to be around people that can pray for you and pray with you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay.
And so you got to be alert at all times. Which bring me back on my soapbox one more time. If you can't be alert and you can't stand against the wiles of the devil, how can you lead other people? How can you lead worship and you living like a devil? Praise God. You're supposed to be leading other people into the presence of God. You ain't even in the presence of God. How can you lead children to Christ When you're not living for Christ, praise God. How can you usher if you're living an unholy life? Man, you might shake somebody's hand and transfer a demon to them. This is funny, but I'm dead serious. This is why I am, you know, the Lord dealt with me last week. When y'all know I preached a pretty hard message last week on the resurrection. It was pretty tough. And I didn't want to preach it. And the Lord told me, he said, son, it is better to come to heaven with a few than to go to hell with thousands. Okay. You see, if I'm going to try to keep you just by telling you nice, sweet, wonderful things, then we're all going to go to hell together. And I don't want to go there. I've already heard about the place. I don't think I'd like it there. It's a little too hot for me. Praise God. Man, I don't like pain. I mean, I stub my toe and I'm like, you think I want somebody burning me all day long? Every single day? 24 hours? No, thank you. And do you know that pastors get tortured the worst down there?
Yep.
The devil just loves it when pastors come. Guess what? I ain't going. I'm like every, nah, don't get me wrong. I'm like every other pastor. I want a large church too. I want a mega church just like they do. But I'm not going to do anything just to get it. Amen. Mm-hmm. Too many pastors are doing that. Now they're allowing homosexuals to come in. Nothing wrong with homosexuals coming in. We want them to come in, praise God. But they're giving them now positions of leadership. They're now marrying them. They're having, and these are people that call themselves evangelical churches. And people can go around and say, and one guy, I was reading an article a couple of days ago, one guy holding up a sign at a gay rally says, I'm gay. And I'm a Christian. No. Like one guy said, that's almost like saying, I'm an adulterer, but I'm a faithful husband. The two don't go together. That's like me saying, I'm a mass murderer, I go around killing people, but I love Jesus. No, the two don't go together. You either repent of sin or you're a sinner, praise God. You are either repentant and living for Christ, or you are a devil. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm not saying that just, the Bible says we all stumble. Hallelujah. Amen. We all stumble. I mess up too. I'm not talking about the slip in the sin and the quick forgiveness that you ask God later. I'm talking about the perpetual living of a lifestyle while still claiming that I'm saved. Don't believe that. Your soul, you are placing your eternal soul in danger when you live that way, praise God. Mm-hmm. So you need to stay alert. Say alert.
Alert.
Oh, it's important to stay alert. All right. Let me give you one more and then we'll close out. Armed. Say armed.
Armed.
You need to stay armed. Looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, begin at verse 13, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor, say armor.
Armor.
Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, praise God.
Amen.
What is the evil day?
No.
Any day. I think you had it, say it.
Any day when the devil come at you?
Yeah. Or like I always say it, very close to what Radima said, any day you're attacked with evil is the evil day. Any day that you're going through a trial. Well, basically, Pastor Mary's right too. The Bible does say that we are right now in the evil days, praise God.
Amen.
But in this particular situation, when it says the evil day, it's talking about any day that you're attacked with evil or any day the devil is coming at you. We already learned that one of the A's is attack. He will attack you. But so you have to, if you're going to be under attack, you must be armed, praise God.
Amen.
That word withstand is the same exact word in the Greek as the one in James chapter 4, verse 7 that says resist. Withstand and resist are the same words. So you can't resist the devil unless you got your armor on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it goes on to say, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praise God.
Amen.
So this was, Paul was just simply giving us an analogy here. You got to stand on truth, which is the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to have your whole armor is built up on the truth of God's word. You need to have on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, because if you're not living in righteousness, then you're an easy target for the devil. And he will shoot you in the heart. And you know when you get shot in the heart, you're dead, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to walk in righteousness. Now, you potentially have Christ's righteousness. Praise God.
Amen.
So you are, if you have given your life to Christ, you are born again, then the Bible says that you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you have his righteousness. He's given you his righteousness the moment you were born again. You became in right standing with God. But now because he's given you his righteousness, he's also given you the power to walk righteously. So there is no excuse for us not walking in righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
You are to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. While it is vitally the most important thing that Christians should do is to preach the gospel of Jesus, that is not what this particular passage is talking about. This passage is talking about the peace of your mind, that you are to walk in God's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Because what happens to many of us is we start worrying all the time, and Satan is able to knock us back and forth because we're always worrying about stuff. That's why Jesus told us, take no thought for your life, or don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. In other words, trust God. And Satan can't have anything to destroy your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You see, Satan has lies that he continues to throw at you. Well, it's okay to go down this street and walk down that alley. You're saved now. You're not going to get tempted. Wrong. If you know that you can't handle a certain thing, you stay away from it. Amen. I think I told some of y'all this story before. Some of y'all may have heard it, some of you didn't. But I remember one time we were downtown sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we had some, we were down in the red light district. Any of y'all know what a red light district is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I don't want to share with the children here. But yeah, it's a place of ill repute, praise God. And we were down there sharing the gospel, and we saw a young man who had been led to Christ. We saw him sneak creeping into one of those girly bars. And so me and my friend, you know, we were young, you know, I'm only like 23, 24, and he was like in his early 20s, we decided, hey, let's go down there and rescue him, because he's tough. We can handle anything. So we ran into the bar after him, and right when we got into the bar, there was a nice, beautiful young lady got up on the stage with hardly nothing on. We started dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I told my friend, I said, you rescue him, I'll be outside for you. See, I know my tolerance level, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. That's why y'all ain't going to read no scandals about me, because I'm not going to go in certain places. I know I can't handle them. Anybody wants to take a ministry team and go in a certain area, I will come here and intercede while they go.
Amen.
Amen. Because y'all not going to read about Pastor True in the paper. Pastor was arrested with three local pastor. Oh, you know the papers love that. They don't. Maybe nobody knows anything about me, but they will be sure to put in that I was a pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will be sure to put that in. So, I mean, they had one guy who, I'm not going to tell you the name of the city, but it's close to here. They found him. He was driving drunk one day. A pastor of a pretty large church. They made sure they put in the paper that he was a pastor. So what I'm telling you is that you got to be careful. That's why you are to take the shield of faith and guard against any lie that the devil brings your way. He can tell you to go down a certain place or do a certain thing or watch a certain TV show that you know you shouldn't be watching. And then the next thing you know, you pray. I'm going to share a real quick story with y'all so y'all can know that I'm human. That I'm not sitting here talking about, I'm making like I'm perfect, praise God.
Amen.
I remember I was at the video store with a man of God, a strong prophet of God named Dr. J.R. Roper. And we were looking at videos. And Dr. Roper, there was a video I was interested in about time travel. And that's all, you know, because I like science fiction stuff. And he said, Troy, that's the way he talked, Dr. Roper. He says, Troy, he said, don't you rip that. It's got some bad stuff in it. I said, all right, Dr. Roper. After I took Dr. Roper home, I went back to the video store and got it. I started watching it, and sure enough, there was a couple of scenes in there I should not have seen. And it was difficult for me. And then those images started flowing in my mind. Satan started attacking my mind. And so the next night, when during a revival service when Dr. Roper was preaching, and he had an altar call for deliverance, I went right up there. I confessed. I said, Doc, I said, the video you told me not to rent, I rented it. So he casted the demon out. He casted the devil off of me. I got free, praise God. But the thing is that I had to, you know, the fact that I had to actually embarrass myself, go up there and confess to him what had happened. And this sweet lady, she walked up there with me, praise God. And I confessed it right there in front of her, and she forgave me. Well, she watched it with me anyway. But see, she's not affected. Like I said, you men are affected by things that women don't easily get affected by. But thank God that I got delivered, praise Jesus. But you shouldn't even have to go through any of that. If you just listen to the Holy Spirit and keep your shield of faith up. And that also applies to not just sin, but any other area concerning faith. When the devil tells you that you're not going to, that he's going to keep you unemployed, you keep your shield of faith up and say, hey, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. You keep that shield of faith up. When the devil tells you he's going to kill you, you're going to die of that sickness, you say, hey, you take that sword of the Spirit out and keep that shield of faith up and say, uh-uh, courage. By his stripes, I am healed. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
You stand, you keep the shield of faith up. You stand on the word of God. You keep that sword in your hand. So you can resist sin, you can resist sickness, you can resist poverty, you can resist every single attack of the enemy in Jesus' precious name. Glory
Amen.
To God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Stand to your feet. Oh, I'm tempted to go on. But I won't.
I want you to say.
Yes, mommy. Come on up. You know I can't never deny mama.
I know. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want for church to pray for the young people.
Yes.
I know last week, mother and myself went to somewhere, we saw two guys, young people were standing, holding the cartoon, something in their hand, begging for money. So to my joy, again yesterday, 40-year-old, he been there for the 1 year. Strong, you know, Salvation Army, when they hire people on the program, they didn't want you, you can't drink. So when he went home, he got into the drinking. So they called the store yesterday, they said they fired him. So everybody was so sad yesterday. I'm so sad, you know, he's a good little boy. He always say, ma, when I call him last night, he started crying on the phone. Ma, I'm not with you anymore. Look at me. Ma, you pray for me so I can't go all the way again. So I was so sad last night. I said, where can we do the people? You can't go bed there. Why you gotta pour yourself in the drinking?
Mm.
So you pray for the young people.
Amen. Amen. We're gonna pray for him right now. But see, this is a good lesson for us to see right now that what sin destroys. Praise God.
Amen.
Say that with me. Say sin destroys.
Sin destroys.
You see what happened to this young man? I could multiply that story. One young man we had working with us used to get drunk on the job. And just a couple weeks ago, they found him in his apartment dead, 37 years old. That just broke my heart. We gave him the option of either being fired or just resigning because he would come to work drunk. People are destroying themselves. So if you think you want to see why I'm preaching so hard on this stuff, it ain't because I like preaching these type of messages. It's because if you go into those lifestyles, they will destroy you. And just claiming you a Christian doesn't mean that sin won't destroy you. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I love y'all. Let's bow our heads and let's pray for this young man and then close out. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask.